Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're talking with Dr. Andrew Saul about his book, The Orthomolecular Treatment of Chronic Disease. And Dr. Saul, I was going to ask you, you've looked at 65 experts, talked to some of them on therapeutic and preventive nutrition. What are some of the key protocols that you have seen that have really, really made a difference for people? Maybe some of the topics that are really timely for today's population.
Well, earlier I mentioned how vitamin C was used by Dr. Robert Cathcart in doses up to, and in some cases far over, 100,000 milligrams a day. And at that dose, vitamin C is an excellent antiviral. Well, right now in the news, you have only to switch it on quickly to see that Ebola and various respiratory viruses are a real concern, public health concern, all throughout the world. Vitamin C, because it boosts the immune system, is a good preventive. In the case of illness, very serious illness, and believe me, I do appreciate just how serious Ebola is, we don't really have a cure. We know that about 50% of people will survive it with no treatment at all, but that's not very good. About 50% of people in Europe and Asia survived bubonic plague in the Middle Ages, and we wouldn't consider that a success. So anything we can use to tip the table is valuable. And since Dr. Robert Cathcart cured viral diseases such as viral pneumonia and hepatitis, and even found it reduced symptoms in people that had AIDS and improved their quality and length of life, we can apply this broad antiviral value of vitamin C in high doses to many different threats that we're experiencing today. Another good example would be illnesses like depression and anxiety, emotional, mental illnesses. Dr. Abram Hoffer, who I mentioned from British Columbia, was treating for well over half a century as a psychiatrist his patients with vitamin B3. B3 is niacin, also known as niacinamide. High doses of niacin, Dr. Hoffer found, were valuable against a variety of mental disorders. And this includes bipolar disorder, panic attacks, attention deficit disorder in children, and a long list of others. Now, it's hard to imagine that one vitamin could have such broad value until we realize that in animals, if you make them deficient in niacin, they start to develop these symptoms. We can learn a lot from animal studies, and then we learn even more from studies on people. The orthomolecular treatment of chronic disease is doctors reporting what they did in their practice and in their research and telling people exactly what vitamins they use. Yet another good example of this would be vitamin E, as in Edward. Vitamin E was widely used by doctors Wilfred and Evan Shute. They practiced for decades in London, Ontario. The Shutes found that vitamin E was valuable for treating heart disease and various other cardiovascular ailments. They used up to 3,600 international units of vitamin E a day. The United States RDA for vitamin E is under 15. So 3,600 or even 2,000 units of E is an enormous dose. People are thinking right away, wait a minute, first of all, is this safe? And the second thing they're thinking is, if it's so good, how come my doctor's not already doing it? So the first question we can answer by saying, here's how safe it is. In the United States, there's a coast-to-coast database, the American Association of Poison Control Centers, and they collect data from 59 reporting centers all through the United States, and that's a lot of people. All this data is crunched, and every year they publish who dies from what. This has been done for 30 years now, three decades. In that 30-year period, there have been a total of 13 alleged deaths from vitamin usage. Now, our group, the Orthomolecular Medicine News Service, took a look at that, and we could not find substantiation for any one of those 13 allegations of death from vitamins. This strongly suggests that vitamins are very safe, to put it mildly. And even if those allegations were true, That's not even one half of one death per year in the United States, where there are tens of billions of doses of vitamins taken annually. Now, the second question I posited was, how come my doctor doesn't know this or use it if it's so good? And the answer is, doctors go to medical school, they learn about medicine, they get a medical degree, they're medical doctors, then they prescribe medicine, and that is why you don't hear much about nutrition. Now, if your doctor went to a nutritional school and studied nutrition and got a doctorate in nutrition and practiced nutrition and prescribed nutrients, everything would be different. It isn't different. It needs to be. About the closest we can come to really different would be naturopathic physicians. They're close to orthomolecular physicians who would use nutrition pretty much exclusively. Individuals, though, can learn to do a lot of this for themselves. I'm not saying that everybody can be their own doctor, but you often can. That's why the book is called Doctor Yourself. You can learn more than you think. It's just astonishing how much people can do when they change their diet and they stop eating junk food and they start taking nutritional supplements in good quantity. I'd like to mention I have no financial connection with the health products industry. I have no financial connection with the supplement industry. That question often comes up, and I just wanted to clarify it. We're teaching people how they can use nutrition, which is more effective and safer than drugs. But the orthomolecular approach is you have to use adequate, high enough doses to get the job done.
Dr. Saul, you know, you mentioned a couple different things. You mentioned Abraham Hoffer treating anxiety, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder with niacin, and you said niacinamide. Now, what was he using in terms of that, and what kind of doses should people be doing? Let's say they had some of these issues in their family. Now, schizophrenia, I guess, is a fairly, you know, you're going to want to treat it maybe perhaps different than just some anxiety, but what should people be doing if they have this in their, what do you recommend in your book?
Well, ideally, they should be working with their physician and developing the dose that's best for them. And the doctor should be looking at papers that are not about drugs, but rather are about how to use nutrients. In the absence of doctors having that knowledge base or being willing to take the time to learn it, that means that patients have to become the principals here, and they have to learn it themselves. Dr. Hoffer wrote 24 books. And in it, he outlined two basic approaches. One was a preventive approach using niacin, where a person might take a few hundred milligrams of niacin a day as prevention. This is more than the United States RDA, which is less than 20. So 200 would be more than 10 times the RDA just for prevention. But for people that are schizophrenic or dealing with bipolar disorder or psychoses or panic attacks or severe depression, the amount of niacin that they might need is open-ended. Dr. Hoffer's most common prescription was 3,000 milligrams a day in 3 1,000 divided doses. He often gave far more than that, and I know people that took several times that huge amount. But it depends on the person. Like shoes or underwear, one size does not fit all. And that is another principle of orthomolecular medicine. The first is you're using nutrition instead of drugs. The second is you're using high enough doses. And the third is it has to be individualized. Working with a physician is ideal. Trial and error, however, is also possible because nutrients are quite safe. When we look at people that want to use niacin, I always want to tell them this. If you take niacin, you're going to have a flush. Niacin causes a flush. It's a vasodilation. It's a histamine reaction. The skin gets kind of pink, might get itchy. People sometimes feel hot, like they were embarrassed talking in front of a large room full of people, or like they had a slight sunburn. Or women know what a hot flash feels like. I don't have to tell them that. This niacin flush is harmless, Dr. Hoffer says, but some people find it troubling. Dr. Hoffer said if you just keep taking the niacin, it'll go away in a couple, 3 weeks. For those that cannot abide the flush, they can use niacinamide. This is the kind of niacin that's in most multivitamins because it doesn't cause a flush. And if you made a multivitamin and you sold it to the public, you wouldn't want people calling up and saying, how come I took this tablet and it made me warm? So niacinamide is a non-flush form of niacin. The other form is inositol hexaniacinate. Sorry about the name, but that's what it is. Inositol hexaniacinate is also a form of no-flush niacin, which is readily available. This is the kind of information that people will find in the orthomolecular treatment of chronic disease. We really go into it. We go into all the different side effects. We go into the different laboratory tests. We go into actual patient case histories. We go into the history of orthomolecular medicine and show people how this has been used since 1935 when Dr. Klaus Jungblut at Columbia University showed that vitamin C prevented and reversed polio. A fascinating thought, because Jungblut was at Columbia University in New York City showing that vitamin C reversed polio at the very time Franklin Delano Roosevelt was president of the United States, just a couple hundred miles away in Washington, D.C., and Mr. Roosevelt had polio. This is an example of how the information has not quite gotten out into the mainstream. It's not because Dr. Jungblut was some oddball, some eccentric. He was a full professor of bacteriology at Columbia University. This man was very well qualified to do research, but the research was ignored, almost. Time magazine in 1939 did do a story on Jungblut, but it just kind of faded over the years. Another example would be the work of William McCormick of Toronto, Canada. Dr. McCormick was using high doses of vitamin C in the 1940s and 50s. He later became an editor of Prevention magazine. Now, McCormick was a tremendous physician. I've corresponded with members of his family in Toronto, and he was just a wonderful doctor that was interested in really healthy people. But he didn't think drugs were the way to get it. You know, if drugs were the way to be healthy, Canada and the United States and other countries that have lots of pharmaceutical presence would all be free of health problems.
Yeah.
The drug approach just isn't working. Dr. Hoffer had a wonderful statement on that. He said, drugs make a well person sick. Why would they make a sick person well?
And on that note, Dr. Saul, we're going to have to leave you. But tell us, the book is called Orthomolecular Treatment of Chronic Disease. It's available on Amazon.com. Your website again was?
DrYourself.com. And on Facebook, I'm the Mega Vitamin Man. So if people have more need for information, Facebook is good at the Mega Vitamin Man. And we welcome everybody joining in there.
Dr. Saul, thanks for coming on the show. It's been fascinating.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week's show. I want to thank producers across the country that are making this show available to you. Thanks to Reg Fair, our producer here in the station. And have a great, healthy week.